This podcast homily is part of a series of homilies for Whitsunday Pentecost and the Sundays in Trinity season in worship using the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. Welcome to this podcast homily for the 16th Sunday after Trinity. I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. These homilies are always found on the podcast homilies page at the AIC website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. They, as well as the entire archive of hundreds of homilies, can be accessed through the Podbean gadget on the digital library page of the same site and through the podcast program through iTunes. The epistle reading for 16th Sunday after Trinity is Ephesians 3, verses 13 to 21, which is St. Paul's short homily on the meaning of divine love, or agape, some people say agape, and how through the incarnation, life, and death of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and by the sovereign grace of the Father, working through His Holy Spirit, that love is able to dwell within the faithful. It includes a powerful phrase rarely equaled in the New Testament, including a sweeping reference to the, quote, breadth and length and depth and height, unquote, of the Father's love for His creation, and also the use of one of St. Paul's favorite words, fullness, to describe the effect on mankind of the divine powers in heaven. The gospel reading is Luke 7, verses 11 to 19, the story of the healing of the son of the widow of Nain. It is the 11th of 12 episodes for Trinity season from the Gospel of St. Luke, and another which is unique to St. Luke's Gospel. The time is the spring of 28 AD, roughly contemporary to last week's account from the Gospel of St. Matthew. It happens the day after Jesus' healing of the centurion's servant, which is another incident in which it was a non-Jew who showed faith in Jesus Christ. In our reading, Jesus and the traveling party are near the small town of Nain in the region of Nazareth and Mount Tabor. When Jesus and the large crowd, including the disciples which were following him, reached the gate of Nain, they were met by a similarly large crowd coming out of the town in a procession bearing the open coffin of a young man who was the only son of the woman Christians know only as the widow of Nain. The dead son of the widow of Nain was most likely her only source of support. One of St. Luke's objectives in his gospel was to tell the story of a compassionate Jesus of Nazareth, and in this account we hear again that Jesus saw the woman and had compassion upon her, counseling her, saying to her, "Do not weep." But telling this bereaved woman not to weep was not the only unusual thing that Jesus did that morning. He also touched the open coffin. For a Jew, this was so startling that the procession stopped and all around the coffin fell silent, as Luke tells us in verse 14b. The parallel to the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10 verses 23 to 37, is read on Trinity 13, and that parallel is obvious. In the parallel, both the Hebrew priest and the Levite cross the road to avoid touching the unclean thing which lay in the road. Jesus, unconstrained by the strictures of Hebrew religious protocol, did what no other would have done. There, as well as here, he touched the coffin. Ponder now what this woman must have thought at these astonishing developments. She thought she had lost her only son, the source of her livelihood, and yet Jesus said to her, "Do not weep," and actually touched the coffin. If she was astonished before that act, imagine her thoughts after Jesus broke the silence and said in verse 14, "Young man, I say to you, arise." You don't have to imagine the shock at what happened next, for St. Luke tells us, "Fear struck the crowd when the man in the coffin sat up and spoke." When St. Luke writes that Jesus presented the arisen man to his mother in verse 15, I think St. Luke means that Jesus assisted the man to get out of the coffin and approach his mother. When St. Luke wrote of fear coming upon the crowd, he meant fear in the Old Testament sense, that is, that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear in the Old Testament sense means the obligation to give God glory, honor, and worship. The proof lies in what St. Luke reports next, that the people glorified God. They cried out, saying in verse 16, "A great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people." The words of the crowd are similar to the Anglican prayer book's Benedictus prayer, or Song of Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, in Luke 1, verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people." It should be understood that the raising of the son of the widow of Nain, like the raising of the daughter of Jairus and the raising of Lazarus, are not resurrection, because in the normal course of their lives, all three of these people eventually died. They might better be called rejuvenation or resuscitations. The only person ever resurrected from the dead is Jesus Christ our Lord. Word of this amazing demonstration of Jesus' divine power, even over death, quickly spread through all Judea and nearby regions. The first of my two closing prayers is a catena on Psalm 119, verses 1 to 11, which I prepared for sixth hour in part 3 of the AIC bookstore publication, "Hear Us, O Lord, Daily Prayers for the Laity." The second is the collect for 16th Sunday after Trinity, which Archbishop Cranmer adapted from the Gelasian Sacramentary of the Roman Church as it was used in worship in England. "Blessed are those that are undefiled in the way and walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and seek him with their whole heart. Even they who do no wickedness and walk in his ways. Thou hast charged that we shall diligently keep thy commandments. Oh, that my ways were made so direct that I might keep thy statutes. So shall I not be confounded while I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will seek thee with an unfeigned heart when I shall have learned the judgments of thy righteousness. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Amen." And now the collect for 16th Sunday after Trinity. "O Lord, we beseech thee, let thy continual pity cleanse and defend thy church, and because it cannot continue in safety without thy succor, preserve it evermore by thy help and goodness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a production of the Anglican Internet Church, and we invite you to visit our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.